There's the school bell, and it's time again for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You'll need to pull out your school book from under your desk. That would be your Bible. And then sit close to the radio and turn it up and be ready to follow along and be a student. And you'll learn some things that could be of eternal benefit to you today. Today we're studying a lesson written by E.A. Elam for the Sunday Schools of February the 8th, 1925, on Christ's intercessory prayer of John chapter 17. And so you may want to be taking your Bibles and turning to John chapter 17. While you're doing so, I'll remind you, the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, John 17 begins. These things spake Jesus, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Of the students of this lesson, I'm compelled to stop and ask, are we not overjoyed with the fact that Jesus, through his suffering and death, brought to naught him that had power of death, that is, the devil, and delivered all them who through fear of death were their lifetime subject to bondage? Contemplating the end of the Christian faith, the salvation of the soul, the praise and honor and glory to be revealed at the second coming of Christ, is no wonder that Peter says, Ye rejoice greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory, 1 Peter 1, 6-9. In this prayer, Jesus addressed God as Father, Holy Father, and Righteous Father. Now the subtitle under this Sunday school lesson is Christ Prayed for Himself. Let me read John 17, 2 through 5. Even as thou gavest him authority over all flesh, that to all whom thou hast given him he should give eternal life, and this eternal life that they should know thee, the only true God, and him whom thou didst send, even Jesus Christ, I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now, Father, glorify thou me with thine own self with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Glorify thy Son. This was done two ways. By giving him authority over all flesh, that is, to all God had given him, he should give eternal life. And two, by glorifying him with God's glory, which he had with the Father before the world was. Verse 5. Jesus gave up this glory when he came to earth in the form of a servant and died on the cross. We read in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, Have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, existing in the form of God, counted not being on an equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, and being made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient, even unto death, yea, the death of the cross. It is the glory of Jesus to give eternal life to all whom God has given him. Jesus is glorified now in his disciples, that is, and their faithful obedience to Him in being one and in accomplishing His work. But in strife, contention, and divisions, He is dishonored by those who profess to be His disciples, and those who say they have His Spirit, but engage in such dishonorable conduct. How shameful and humiliating the unholy strife, contention, faction, and division now existing among the professed followers of Christ. Christ will be glorified also in His saints, and marveled at in all that believe when He comes again. In the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7 through 10, we read, "And to you that are afflicted, rest with us. At the revelation of the Lord Jesus from heaven, with the angels of His power, in flaming fire, rending vengeance to them that know not God, and to them that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus, who shall suffer punishment, even eternal destruction, from the face of the Lord and from the glory of His might, when He shall come to be glorified in His saints, and to be marveled at in all them that believe, because our testimony to you was believed in that day." We cannot comprehend the glory of Christ coming with 10,000s of His saints, or with His holy midriage, Jude 24. It is eternal life to know the Father as the only true God, and Jesus whom God has sent as the Christ. But what is it to know God? It is more than to acknowledge Him intellectually as the Supreme Being. Thou believest that God is one. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and shudder, James 2:19. To know God is to keep His commandments from the heart, or in faith and love to obey Him, to become God-like. For instance, no one without mercy, forbearance, forgiveness, justice, righteousness, and love knows God and Jesus. How did Jesus glorify God on earth? He did so by accomplishing the work God gave Him to do. How did He accomplish so much? Well, He began early in life, Luke 2:49, and worked zealously while at it, while it was day, John 9 and verse 4, and continued to the end, John 19 and verse 30. Did it ever occur to us that God has given us a work to do, or that we should glorify God? We can glorify God only by doing the work He has given us to do. Only as we obey Him can we, and do we, glorify Him. We may speak with the tongues of men and angels, give all our goods to feed the poor, and our bodies to be burned, possess miraculous knowledge, and manifest every miraculous power. But without obedience to God, we are nothing. We should remember our Creator in the days of our youth, be always zealous of good works, and then, in the end, we can say we have accomplished the work that He gave us to do. Jesus based the petition for God to glorify Him upon the fact that He had glorified God, and that He had done this by accomplishing the work which God had given Him to do. Jesus was now returning to the glory which He had with the Father before the world was. Now, after Jesus prayed for Himself, Jesus prayed for His immediate disciples. I want to read to you from John chapter 17, verses 6 through 8. "I manifested Thy name unto men whom Thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them to me, and they have kept Thy word. Now they know that all things whatsoever Thou hast given me are from Thee. For the words which Thou gavest me, I have given unto them, and they received them. And they knew of a truth that I came forth from thee, and they believe that thou didst send me." Jesus prayed for his disciples at this time. Jesus manifested the name of God to his disciples. And how did he do this? Not by making them acquaint intellectually with the name of God, as now are known in the names of the earth great philosophers, literally statesmen and warriors and those in literature, but by teaching them what the name of God stands for, and by showing them in his life the attributes of God. God's name stands for all he is, his wisdom and power, his justice and righteousness, his mercy and grace, his love and salvation. In all these, God was manifested in Jesus. The disciples of Jesus belonged to God first. In obedience to God, they were his. He gave them to Jesus, not arbitrarily or by compulsion, but according to their own choice, as will be clearly seen by reading the accounts of them. Let me read some of those accounts and note their implications. John chapter 1 and verse 11, "He came into his own, and they that were his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become children of God, even to them that believe on his name." John chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, "He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil." John 6, 37 through 45, "All that which the Father giveth me shall come unto me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. For I am come down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all that which he hath given me I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that every one that beholdeth the Son and believeth on him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. The Jews therefore murmured concerning him, because he said, I am the bread which came out of heaven. And they said, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How doth he now say, I am come down out of heaven? Jesus answered and said unto them, Murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father that sent me draw him, and I will raise him up in the last day. It is written in the prophets, And they shall all be taught of God. Every one that hath heard from the Father and hath learned cometh unto me." We can see from this that they became God's people and remained Christ's disciples by keeping God's word. Jesus' prayer for his disciples was based on the condition that they had accepted him as sent from God and had received from him the word of God. They knew that whatsoever Jesus did and was taught was from God, and that God and Jesus are one. The salvation of the world depends on believing that God sent Jesus, and upon accepting him as the Savior. All that Jesus did and taught was from God. He came not to do his own will, but the will of him that sent him, John 6:38. Therefore, not to seek his own will, but the will of God, John 5 and verse 30, not to please himself, but to please God, Romans 15:3 and John 8:29 and 30, and not to teach his own teachings, but the teachings of God, John 17:16, John 8:28, John 12:49 through 50. Now we're going to pause in our studies, and we'll continue this. in our next class.